Radio, 580 in Fresno, the big one in Fresno, to the Dreamland Network. Good finally get on in Fresno. Very good to be on. We're talking with Sean David Morton, and he'll be back and talk with us more in just a moment. We'll find out how.
All models come with a 1 year.
All right, updating you on our numbers, and we're about to get the phone lines open here for Sean David Morton. If you're west of the Rockies, the number is 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. Anywhere east of the Rocky Mountains, it's 1-800-825-5033. East of the Rockies only, 1-800-825-5033. And in just 1 second, we'll open those lines. Sean David Morton, you're back on the air. Let me ask you how you cause earthquakes.
Well, specifically, and we talked about a lot about this on the last show when I was on, and I've spoken about this in my newsletter quite a great deal, that specifically the Northridge quake, that fault, which is also called the Camarillo Fault, was only discovered May 26th of 1993. And less than 8 months later, you have one of the most damaging, most costly quakes in U.S. history occurring right along that particular fault. One of the few quakes, I might add, that actually relieved a huge amount of pressure from the San Andreas Fault,
right.
And what experts felt was the only quake that they'd seen that actually relieved a lot of pressure in Southern California, because most quakes like that build up to larger quakes, except that one.
Mm.
And what we had talked about, and we had a lot of people that called on the show the last time, that there are specifically ELF frequency towers, and they're not exactly towers, they look like long railroad ties, that are in Beatty, Nevada, which is right outside of Area 51, Edwards Air Force Base, and Moffett Field. Now, for the last couple of years, there have been very mysterious hums. One is called the Taos Hum in New Mexico, where many people are hearing these very, very odd radio frequencies that some people can hear that other people cannot.
Right.
Harvard went out there and said, well, there is something there, but we can't figure out where it comes from. There's another interesting thing that was reported on CNN, which they call the Monterey Heartbeat, and that there is a thumping, pounding heartbeat sound that's being heard directly off the coast of Monterey.
Are they still hearing that now?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, no kidding.
And one of the reasons I was able to pinpoint the Northridge quake is because in my meditations, I kept getting man-made, man-made, man-made. That word kept flashing across my mind. And when it came to my attention that these ELF, these very, very low-frequency antenna, were located at these three places, I then began to draw concentric circles around the locations, realizing that if sound was going to be used to induce some kind of quake, that it would have to be where the sound waves interconnected. And they interconnect in three places. The first place is Flagstaff, Arizona. And, of course, there was a 5.6 quake in Flagstaff in April of 1993. First time there had been a quake there in, I think, 40-some-odd years. The second location is Vallejo up in Northern California, which I'm picking up as being very, very hot right now. And the third location is Northridge, at the exact epicenter of where that quake is.
Hmm.
If people in the Southern California area were paying attention, suddenly after they found the Camarillo Fault, there were a whole series of military operations that went on directly off the coast. There was the first one was called Operation Ship Shock, and this was a testing of the stealth submarine called the Sea Shadow. And the cover story was that the Sea Shadow was going to be sent into these trenches and that they would explode 50 to 200,000 pound ammonium nitrate bombs, what they call cheese cutter bombs, that the Sea Shadow would then move near the bombs, and that when the bombs went off, this was to test the ability of the Sea Shadow to live through some kind of nuclear attack. You know, basically the shock and stress structures of the submarine.
Right.
The second wave that went on was called Operation Shockwave, and Shockwave was just completed here, where the United States Geological Survey, in league with the U.S. military, I might point out, for the first time ever, did a seismic survey in which a series of bombs were buried from Seal Beach all the way up to China Lake Naval Weapons Test Center, and then from China Lake all the way down to Landers. Now, just as a side point, what a lot of people don't realize is the exact epicenter of the 1992 7.6 Landers quake was in fact the southwest corner of the 29 Palms Marine Corps base. It was on military land, suspiciously enough. And because of the information that I got from the paramedics who were up in the air 8 days before the quake, because of the meditations I was getting, because I knew where these sound waves were happening, and they announced in the newspapers that they were going to be setting off bombs, which just so happened to be at the end of the Camarillo fault line, which when it comes off the coast is actually trident shape. It goes it goes out in three directions. And there were very mysterious quakes, all of which were exactly 3.7 on the Richter scale, and USGS sort of scratched his head and said, gee, that's odd. It's rare that we get quakes that are of the exact same magnitude. And the U.S. Geological Report said that seemed to have an effect of explosions, like undersea detonations going off, unquote, from the USGS weekly report that they put out.
Okay, so the upshot is you think Northridge was man-made.
Specifically man-made,
right?
Because the United States Geological Survey teamed up with the military. They basically got together and said, well, look, if we have a 9-plus megaquake that's going to be building in California, we know it's coming, we know where the stress points are. It's not like you can go to the governor of the state and say, well, we need to induce a 6.5 to a 7.5 quake so that your state doesn't fall into the ocean. And I believe that Northridge was artificially induced specifically to keep that event from occurring.
It's quite a charge. All right, I want to get to the phones, but briefly, I've got a fax here from Hawaii, unrelated to anything we've been talking about, but interesting. Dear Art, I just heard on the local news, KGMB Channel 4 Honolulu, that there have been multiple sightings on Oahu of mysterious lights. Last night between 10 and 12 midnight, no, make that 10 in the morning and 12 p.m., two bright objects were seen and videotaped by several people. These objects had lights coming from the bottom, shooting down over the water. This part did not show up on tape. Regards, Bill in Hawaii. So there's some sighting stuff going on now in Hawaii.
One of the interesting things about UFO phenomenon is that UFO phenomenon will almost always increase exponentially directly before some sort of major natural catastrophe. There does seem to be a link between not only the sightings of UFOs, but also religious apparitions. In this country, the Virgin Mary. In Egypt, she's sometimes seen as Isis. In India, she's seen as Durga Mata, the Earth Mother there. These sort of psychic phenomena and this kind of UFO activity usually always occurs in mass, anywhere between 2 years to 30 days before some sort of massive earth change, a war, or a major natural catastrophe.
All right, here we go on the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Sean David Morton. Hi.
Hello
there. Yes, sir, turn your radio off. Oh, well, he instead hung up. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Sean David Morton. Good morning, evening.
Yes, hello.
Hi, where are you?
I am just northeast of Seattle.
Okay.
Yes.
Hi.
My name is Starla.
Hi, Starla.
Yes.
Go ahead, Starla.
Am I speaking to Art?
And Sean. So
hi.
Go ahead, Starla.
Hi, Art and Sean. Yes, I'm calling just northeast of Seattle, as I said, and I did feel the quake that we had the other day. The comment that I have is that I have had a vision myself of I believe, earthquake-related volcanic eruptions. I have seen three of them occurring in rapid succession. One of them was Mount Rainier, the other one was St. Helens, and another one was a volcano which I lived at the base of for a number of years. It's a smaller one, but it's a dormant volcano called Mount Si, which is just east of Seattle, going over the pass towards Spokane.
So you're saying that you see Mount St. Helens actually erupting again?
I see all three of these erupting, yes. And I think it may be a kind of a chain reaction thing. I'm not sure if the earthquake is going to hit first and then the volcanic eruptions, or if there's going to be volcanoes and then the earthquake, but I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be like real close together.
Just as a matter of curiosity, ma'am, how do these visions or predictions come to you, please?
Okay, well, they actually, they come to me in a series of ways. Sometimes they come to me in dreams. Sometimes they come to me while I'm awake. They're very vivid. They're always in detail. I've had a lot of visions come true ever since I was a small child.
All right. Thank you very much. Sean,
yes.
A general question about people who have themselves visions. I've had a lot of people calling me up on the phone lately saying things like the psychic hairs on the back of my neck are standing up.
Yes.
And so a lot of people are feeling it. Do most people have the ability to receive these visions, Sean? Are we just blocking it out, or
the ability is getting is basically growing more and more, because as the Earth changes become more severe, humanity, in order to survive, is going to have to pay attention to this ability. And every single person on the planet, within the next couple of years, as these earth changes get greater and greater, I don't care if you sit on the couch, watch TV, drink a six-pack of beer, and eat pork sandwiches all day, you are going to get more psychic and more sensitive, and you're going to start listening to your body, and your body is going to start telling you, or spirit as well, is going to start telling you where to be, where to go, and where to move.
Well, is it really human beings becoming more psychically sensitive, or is it a matter of the psychic scream becoming louder?
I think it's both, actually. Humanity is moving into an entirely new phase of its evolution. We're moving out of what I call the fourth dimensional space of height, width, breadth, and time into a fifth dimensional space of mind, where that which you think is going to become virtually instantaneous reality. And the biggest message that I have for the people out there in Seattle, and for all those people that subscribe to my newsletter out there, and for all my friends there, you must begin to pray, to meditate, to go out to Mount Rainier, to begin to bring that energy onto yourself, process it through your own bodies, and try to calm that area down, because it is so very, very hot right now. You've already seen the first phase of the eruption of Mount Rainier with the massive fires that have taken place, which were caused by freak aberrant electrical storms, where the energy itself from the sky was being pulled down to start those massive fires on the area. The volcanic activity is simply a symptom of the Earth being out of balance, and each element going out of balance, the air element, then the fire element, and then, of course, the Earth element as well. And if the people in Seattle can process the energy that's literally coming up through the planet to live in an aspect of love, of prayer, of meditation, of humor, of companionship with one another, that's the most important thing. That's the link that can either lessen these catastrophes when they occur, or when they do occur, lessen the human destruction in the form of social and civil unrest, rioting, looting, etc., people actually pulling together to help each other. That's going to be the key to this whole thing. It's going to be what you know and who you know. It's going to be knowledge and family. That's going to be the two most important things. Is that aspect of community, of people coming together, is what's going to save us here in the United States.
Yeah, to use a 60s metaphor, good vibrations. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Sean David Morton. Hi.
Oh, hi. Good evening. Art, this is Jim in St. Louis.
St. Louis, yes.
Sean, how's it going?
Good, buddy.
Glad to have you back on again.
Thanks.
I'd like for you to comment on two things primarily. One, if you could, please explain for all the listeners why it is that, in fact, we do not live in a democracy, but rather behind a facade of democracy, and how the Pentagon and the international bankers really run the secret government.
Well,
there's
a lot of people that are a lot better on that subject than me. My grandmother, who was from Ireland, used to have a funny saying where she used to say, you know, if voting really changed anything, they would have made it illegal a long time ago.
Yeah, Caller, we're kind of concentrating on Dreamland Association subject. Sure.
Could you go into as much detail as possible about what you see happening with the fall of the entire economic system of the West, and how martial law will be implemented with the adult forces?
All right. Thank you, Colin.
Well, there was just a couple points that I wanted to touch on that were specific predictions that I had. This government source that talked to me last night talked about that there is going to be a coming currency exchange in the United States, and he gave me very specific details on this. He said originally the currency exchange was planned for this year, that it's been postponed until the late spring, early summer of 1996, which would be an excellent time, by the way, to invest in gold coins. The reason that he gave was that apparently the Iranians are practicing a form of economic terrorism against the United States, where the Iranian government, has actually bought the exact same printing presses using the exact same type of paper, same pressure plates, same ink, same strip and the $100 bill, and they are flooding the world market with $100 bills.
I've been hearing very much the same thing.
You can't even cash or break a $100 bill in Europe now because one out of every five $100 bills outside the country specifically are fake, and that the Iranians are flooding the world market.
Are you fairly sure of those numbers, one out of five?
I'm quoting this government source, and he said two things. He said a number of things. One, the currency exchange will occur where the money will be called in, that there'll be a new form of currency where you will use red, they'll have a laser design on them and you'll use red $100 bills outside of the United States specifically, that the currency that was being generated by the Iranians was specifically used for the World Trade Center bombing, and that there were a number of terrorist actions planned across the United States, many of which the NSA has in fact stopped and you've never heard about. To answer a second question, this is another prediction I have, the Mexican economy in free fall. You will see by June the removal of President Zedillo. You will see massive riots in Mexico. The bailout that that Clinton is trying to do right now, I believe, is going to be stopped. He's already been sued for it, which puts it on hold for 30 days, the $20 billion where he's raiding the Federal Reserve Bank to flush out Mexico.
All right.
And the loans actually come due in 2 weeks. But you'll see the removal of Zedillo, massive riots in Mexico overthrowing the government, and, of course, the series of natural catastrophes there, beginning with the quakes around Mexico City and the eruption of Mount Popocatépetl.
Wow. Now, Sean, as we go along, don't be afraid to make controversial predictions, all right?
Well, okay.
east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Sean on the first-time caller line, you're on the air with Sean David Morton. Hi.
Hi, Sean.
Where are you calling from, sir?
From Kelso.
Kelso, Nevada?
Montana.
Montana.
All right. Say hi to the people in Montana for me.
Okay. I just wanted to know, Sean, do you believe in reincarnation?
Yes.
Because I think I've been reincarnated with Hitler's spirit.
Oh. Well, how sorry I am for you.
Well, me too, and I think I've had calls from him before. Interesting, Sean. We only have a second here before the bottom of the hour. I just want to ask this. People will call up, and we'll get them yet tonight, I promise. They will say, Sean, where does the power for your predictive ability come from? Does it come from God, Sean, or does it come from the devil?
Oh, gosh, well, I certainly hope it comes from God. All I'm trying to do with this is try to warn people, try to talk to people about what I see coming. It has nothing to do, you know, I'm nothing.
Yes, Sean, but the Christians would say you're being misled by the devil, who's whispering evil little things into your ear that you're spreading. Doing the devil's work, Sean,
well,
they would say.
Well, then at the same time, one can say the same about Jonah, about Isaiah, about Ezekiel in the Old Testament. The whole point of prophecy originally had nothing to do with really predicting the future. The point of prophecy was the word prophet meant a teacher of righteousness.
All right, on that note, we'll have to hold it right there. I just wanted to get your response, Sean, and we will be back. Sean David Morton is my guest. This is Dreamland.
The Kingdom of Nine. This is Dreamland with Art Bell on the CBC Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody. It certainly is. I'm Art Bell. My guest is Sean David Morton. But we're going to, as I mentioned at the top of the program, do things in slightly a different order. Linda Howe, who would normally do her report at the top of the program, will be here in just a moment to give us her report. She was literally just getting in to the airport at Philadelphia. So with an additional hour and a half, she is now back at Report Central in Philadelphia. And in a moment, we will indeed have Linda Howe.
Ever fan of today and as
known, internationally acclaimed, roving all over the place, wherever the action is. Here comes Linda Howe, all the way from Philadelphia, and I presume just back from Puerto Rico. Linda Howe, good evening, Linda.
Yes, Art, that's right. I was flying in from Puerto Rico tonight, and the plane was late. That's why we're doing this a little later. It has been an extremely rich and full week in which I have interviewed men and women all over the island of Puerto Rico, and especially in the Cabo Rojo area at the far southwest corner of the island,
mm-hmm.
where many people have described seeing discs and lights go into and out of the ocean and a lagoon there called the Cartagena Lagoon. I also have interviewed several people who have described seeing what they describe as non-human creatures, totally conscious, either day or night, including a woman who moved to Puerto Rico in 1986 from New York. 2 years later, in 1988, while she was getting ready for work at 4:30 a.m., she saw a non-human being standing across the road not more than about 12 feet from her van that she was getting ready for work. In the following excerpt, she compares the being to a five-year-old kid, that's the word you will hear, kid, about 3 feet tall.
All right, and here it comes again from Puerto Rico.
I got up about 4:30 in the morning to get some things in the van because we sell, we have a cafeteria, a van, so I have to put the stuff in the van to go about 6 o'clock in the morning to sell. And I saw this little kid about 3 feet tall, white, real big eyes, real nice eyes, and he was looking at me from the rock. And I said, no, it can't be a kid at this time outside. That must be a crazy mother. But then, you know, it got scared of me, and I got scared, too. I said, no, this is not a kid. I went inside, and I told my sister that if I tell her something, don't tell nobody because they're going to think I'm crazy. But I just saw a little guy with beautiful big eyes, and he was white. He wasn't great at all, you know, like very white, but you can see it because he showed up in next to the rock, and I have the lights on the band on. That's why I get to see him.
When you say the eyes were beautiful, can you describe them in some detail?
Yeah, because they were big and bright, and they looked to you straight in the eye, but I was scared I won't look too much. I just looked once and changed my look to someplace else.
Compare them to a human eye.
No, they're not like ours, because they don't have no the middle part. They don't have no middle part in it. There's only black.
All black. Can you show me the shape on your face? Show me what you were looking at. How big?
Oh, it's like a kid, about 5 years old. That's it.
But at the eyes, how big are
of they? The eyes, real big and like going back, no hair, and I can see only, you know, when he showed like that, he only showed one hand, but I can see too much of the hand. Only that he grabbed to the rock, he looked at me, he got scared, and I got scared too. That's all I...
And the color of the skin, was it absolutely white?
Yeah, sure. Like a white kid, like pure white, but not so white or gray. I guess it was because of the light or something, I don't know, but he was there. I don't know where he came from.
Okay.
So that is a typical description of what people for at least the last 10 or 15 years throughout the island in various places have said that they have encountered. And it raises the interesting question that we're all trying to understand. This is an island that is made out of coral and limestone with a lot of caverns underneath. Is it possible that there is some kind of a non-human creature based or living in the caverns below the surface island of Puerto Rico? And could it explain why there seems to be such a frequency of sightings of both lights, discs, and in several cases, encounters with beings just as this woman has described?
Mm.
And that's what we're all trying to figure out. Now, jumping from an eyewitness conscious encounter about a non-human creature, which there appears to be a pattern of such descriptions there, you and I have discussed a videotape that we received concerning a possible mysterious Puerto Rican creature. And while I was there, I went to a library in a place called Lajas near the ocean. And the librarian had a book about the... it's called The Devil's Face or The Devil's Claw, and in it were several photographs of an alleged creature in a book that Salvador Frasheeto from Spain had put together in the 70s concerning, and with a question mark, is this an extraterrestrial creature in Puerto Rico?
Indeed.
I took the book to an ichthyologist who is one of the world's foremost ichthyologist means a scientist who studies a variety of fish at the University of Puerto Rico. As soon as he saw it, he said, well, that's a dried up ray, stingray. And he got out one of his large ichthyology books and turned to the drawings of what rays look like on top and on the bottom, and we looked at an x-ray of the alleged extraterrestrial. The x-ray was even almost more clear than the color photograph.
Uh-huh.
His guess is that somebody with the idea perhaps of a scam decided that a dried up stingray would look like something from outer space, especially if you turn it upside down to the bottom of the ray and you put, in this case, they use something that looks like cat eyes in the actual air holes on the bottom of the ray. And below the air holes, interestingly enough, is an area that looks like a pug nose with a mouth underneath it.
That's right, yes.
And this is precisely what the drawings and the photographs of the rays in the ichthyology book looks like. It includes the long, what are called clappers, which in the book on the so-called extraterrestrial, they were they look like somebody had made them as to be legs. The clappers on a stingray are used when there is some sort of sexual intercourse between a male and a female stingray. And there's also a long tail on the stingray, which when you look at these creatures from the side, in some of the cases, the tail has been doubled up on the back into an odd bat shape, which the ichthyologist immediately identified as being the curled up tail of the ray. And I personally, after comparing the library book from the Lajas Library with the ichthyology book, my sense of things and the ichthyologist's art is that somebody has tried to pawn off by putting artificial eyes in the ear holes at the bottom of a stingray, something that they passed off as being something from outer space, and it's not. It's from the ocean.
From wet space.
That's right.
All right. So there it is, a hoax.
From the ichthyologist's point of view, it definitely is.
All right. Linda, let us get out your phone number and your address.
Okay.
I'll give your phone number. Well, that is to say, if you want me to.
Well, my fax number has been working well, so if we could give out my fax
number. All right, why don't we do that? Give us your fax number.
Area code 215-491-9842.
Okay.
And my address to hear from people about your own encounters and events, as well as for the many people who write wanting to know how to get my books and the documentaries that I've done about a variety of phenomena, it's Linda Howe Productions at Post Office Box 538, Huntingdon Valley, PA, Pennsylvania, zip code 19006, and again, Post Office Box 538, Huntingdon, English spelling, H-U-N-T-I-N-G, D as in dog, O-N, Huntingdon Valley, P-A, zip code 19006, and I look forward to hearing from our listeners.
Wonderful. Linda, are you going to be in Philadelphia, or is it off to some other spot in the world?
Well, I hope the rest of February that I'm going to be here. I've got several writing projects, and then I'll begin traveling again at the end of March.
All right. I have one other thing that I wish to read you and everybody else at the same time, and Sean is listening as well, and just get your reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a letter written by Mr. Rose to NASA. I'm sorry, it's a response from NASA to a letter written by Mr. Rose, an awareness branch of NASA. Dear Mr. Rose, thank you for your recent letter. We appreciate your interest in the space program. We are unaware of a large mass, as you have described, which is approaching or in our solar system. You may be referring to the theoretical possibility announced of late about a 10th planet, also known as Planet X. Some astronomers speculate that the unusual orbital paths of some of the outer planets are the result of a large unknown gravitational source. This source, they postulate, may be an unknown planet, perhaps four times the size of Earth, that is following an orbital path considerably angled to the orbital plane of the other planets. At any rate, NASA's spacecraft, the pioneers and voyagers to the other planets, and astronomers around the world are looking for Planet X. This is being done by computational methods, optical, infrared, and ultraviolet studies, and by measuring gravitational influences on the pioneers and voyagers, which are now exploring the limits of our solar system. Someday, we may have an answer to the question. And he adds, at the bottom, Mr. Rose does, Art, do you dare reveal this on Dreamland? Well, of course I do. I just read the letter. But that is interesting, Linda. It seems almost an acknowledgement, or there it is one, that NASA is indeed busily looking for the 10th planet.
Well, who was Mr. Rose, and is he NASA?
Mr. Rose is just a listener. This was signed by Carl Christofferson of the Educational and Awareness Branch at NASA.
And what is the date of that letter?
Let me see. February 9th.
Well, I'm very interested in that, and I will, we're at February 5th today, so was that a year ago?
1988.
Oh, long time.
I'm sorry. Long time ago, but it did indicate that NASA was interested in and pursuing the possibility or the 10th planet postulation.
Well, 7 years ago, if they were looking into that, the question would be, where is their state of knowledge today? And I am going to continue to stay in touch with the astronomer from the Shoemaker-Levy investigation at MIT, and I will talk with her about this, and also about Machholz 2, which really is a comet broken up into five pieces coming into our solar system, and see if I can get any update on this issue of some large mass in the solar system.
I would appreciate it. Many of my guests have talked of it. Linda, we will speak with you next week.
All right, and thanks.
Thank you, Linda. Good night. That's Linda Howe, of course, and from Philadelphia. She is normally with us at the beginning of the broadcast. Now, I think it would be interesting to get a reaction. Let's go back to Sean Morton. Sean, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Sean, well, wait a minute. Let me put you on hold and over on in another place here. Let's see if I can do this. Okay, I think we've got you on now, Sean.
Okay. It was great to hear Linda. She's got fabulous stuff. She's a very nice lady. She's an excellent investigator, and she's the best there is. And she's one of the people that's really done a huge amount from the creation of the TV program Sightings, which I had the pleasure of being on the premiere episode of. She's doing great work, and I'm glad you have her on your show every week.
Do you want to react at all to what she had to say about the supposed creature photograph?
I don't think she was talking about the same photograph. I mean, what I'll do, Art, is I'll send you a copy of the photograph in the report called Alien Activity in Puerto Rico by Jorge Martin.
All right.
I'd be happy to send any of your listeners copies of the. It's about a 30-page report. Basically, if they want to send me $10, that just covers my postage and handling and copying the report. And later on tonight, I'll actually fax you a copy of the fax you a photograph of it.
All right,
and
I'll be able to. Yeah,
manta rays unfortunately do not have little tiny fingers.
All right, I will be able to immediately tell you because I have this other photograph in a high resolution computer picture, so I'll be able to tell you right away.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure. She didn't have. It might be that she might be looking at a different thing. She didn't specifically talk about the. The fact that it was in formal, this policeman had it. I wasn't sure if we were talking about the same thing or not.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Sean Morton. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine. Where are you, sir?
I'm at home.
Where is your home?
Shamrock, Texas.
All right, Shamrock, Texas. Go ahead.
I just called to say I don't see how people can cause earthquakes.
Well, it's not a question of people causing earthquakes. The ability to induce earthquakes has been studied by, and the three premier
scientific communities that are studying it now are the United States, Red China, and Iran. A lot of this information came out when Colonel Oleg Kalugin, who was the former Dirty Tricks master spy of the KGB, when Russia fell, he began to dump massive amounts of files on the West about specifically different types of scientific knowledge that the Russians were investigating. Kalugin was the one, many people might remember him from the headlines, because he embarrassed Bill Clinton when Clinton was trying to open up normalization of relationships with Vietnam. And it was Kalugin who came out and said that not only was it routine for American POWs to be taken to Russia from North Vietnam, but in fact that there were still American POWs alive in Russian gulags.
How does all of that relate to man-causing earthquakes?
Specifically because Kalugin related that he bragged about the fact that the Soviet Union caused the earthquake in Armenia in 1989, which killed 45,000 people by detonating an underground nuclear device in Semiplovatnik.
No kidding.
He talked about the fact that this technology was being very intricately studied by what he said then were the highest bidders, the United States, Iran, and China.
All right, well, we don't have much time to the top of the hour. Caller there in Texas, had you heard any of this before?
No, I haven't.
I hadn't either.
Well, Kalugin is probably the best intelligence source that's come out. He's been interviewed in Time magazine. He's given a number of interviews where he talks specifically about earthquake technology. And if you want to go back also, just very quickly, to Nikola Tesla, Nikola Tesla talks about the fact that he could, with a 2-horsepower device, actually split the Earth open like an apple by pulsing a pounding sound down into the planet using a seismograph that picks it up at the top of the wave and then tapping it again. And it's no more difficult when you know how to do it and have the devices to do it than tapping the waves at the top of a bathtub and then making the bathtub overflow. It's all based on sympathetic resonance, that when you can pulse a wave into the earth and then tap that wave when it comes back, it's just a matter of tapping a wave at the top, and the wave, of course, grows exponentially each time it's tapped.
All right. Sean, hold it right there. We're at the top of the hour. I want to remind anybody we've got kind of a temporary number to get a copy of this program or any other we do on Dreamland. Call during business hours, area code 503-664-8829. 503-664-8829. We'll be right back.